No, it was turned down. Open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. It's in chapter 8. Wait a minute. So chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Okay, Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, those that could understand. The ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shelma, Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Halkiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. All the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. My subject, respect for the Word of God. Notice when they were going to, in verse 5, when Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above the people, when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Respecting the Word of God. Along with that, you might think about the fact in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 7. It says, at that day shall a man look to his Maker, his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Respect for the Word of God, because we should have respect for God, and this is His Word. The Bible is not like any other book. We have a lot of books on the market. Go into a library and there's multitudes of books in the library. Books of all different subjects. Books about the Bible. Books about other things. And of course the Bible itself. But how many times do we as God's people think about the fact that this book that we carry from home to church, back to church again, is the Bible, the Word of God? We have respect for God. We tell everybody how much we love God. Do we respect His Word like we should? Are we careless with it? Is it a special book, or do we just toss it aside like we would any book? Or do we handle it with respect? Do we show that what we have in our hand is the Word that God gave for us to have? How many people in the world, the only time that they ever think about the Bible is when they go to church? How many times do we neglect the Word of God? And I'm just as guilty as everybody else. We neglect it many, many times. People in the Old Testament days didn't have the Bible as available to them as we do. Many of them, the only time they could hear the Word of God is when one of the priests would stand up and read to them from the Scriptures that they had. They didn't have the whole Scriptures in the Old Testament days. They had what God had for them at that time, but it was still God's Word. And many times we bring our Bible, but how many times do we look into it while we're studying? In my early years as a preacher, I used to write down all the Scripture that I was going to read. I wrote the verses down, and then when I call to people that turn to such and such a place, I would start reading it before they had a chance to get there. And I was rebuked to that. And said, we don't have time to get to it. And you have it written down, and we don't have time to get to it. And so that made me realize what I was doing. So I quit writing down the Scripture. I just wrote that where it was found. Then I had to turn to it too, to give everybody else time to turn to it. But how many times do we, when we're sitting in a service and hear someone reading from the Bible, do we read along with them, not to make sure that they're reading the right Scripture, but to see it with our own eyes, what God is saying to us through the mouth of that preacher? How many times do we neglect the Word of God? We all need to think about that. And I want you to notice it says that in verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. The people gathered together as one. The people gathered together as one. We're reading in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And it's talking about, the message is about respect for the Word. And it says in, as we read a moment ago in Verse 1, that the people gathered themselves together as one man. And they spoke to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. They gathered together as one, and they called for the book of the law of Moses, the Word of God. That's what we need to think about. We gather together. Now, someone said, I can study the Bible at home. I said, yeah, I can study the Bible on the creek bank while I'm fishing. And we should do that. But God tells us to gather together, to worship together. And here, the priest in those days, the preacher in these days, read the Word of God and present the message that God has for us. When you look at it from the viewpoint of many, no, we don't need a church. We can read by ourselves. We can study by ourselves. But God gives us a church so we can gather together and worship together around the Word of God. And as we go in Isaiah, we have respect for God, and we should have respect for the Word of God. And as we said here in verse 1, the people gathered themselves together as one. No such thing as excuses here, but the telling us that we must gather together to worship. Christ gave us the Lord's Day as a day to gather and worship and praise God. A day when we should spend time together with God's people and listen to the message from the Word of God. There's all kinds of excuses that Satan will give us. Well, this is the only time I can go visit my family, or we had company and couldn't leave, and I just felt awfully bad. And in many cases, you find that bad feeling lasts until about noon when church is over, and then it eases up. So easy to think about those things. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 25. Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 25. And then, here we are. Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's getting closer and closer to when the Lord take us to be with Him. Someone said a long time ago, we don't know what day it'll be when the Lord comes, but supposing He came on the Lord's day, would we be in His house worshiping? Or would we be out doing things we shouldn't be doing? We should gather together. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says this. Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They gathered together for one purpose in mind, to worship God. Do we gather together with one accord? When we come to church, are we in accord, or do we sort of listen and sort of have our mind on everything else, you know? Wondering about what we're going to have for dinner, or if we put the roast in, if it's burning, or thinking about things other than that. You know why it is that many churches began to put windows that you can't see through up, so that we couldn't sit there and be tempted to look outside when we should be listening to the Word of God. So easy to be tempted to do things that we shouldn't do. But when we come together, we should come together with one accord, one purpose, one reason. I'm here, Lord, to hear Thy Word. I'm here to hear what the Word of God tells us, what the Bible, what the Lord has given us through His servant. So we want to be here to hear and learn from God's Word. Yes, we can read it at home. And we should read it at home. Yes, we could read it, like we said a while ago, while we're sitting at by the side of the bank fishing. We could read it then. And I did a lot of times when I was fishing. I'd take my Bible and sit there and read while I was fishing. But that doesn't take the place of worshiping together with the Lord's people and worshiping around the Word of God. We gather together with one accord. We want to worship together before God and hear His Word and study what He has to say to us. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, verse 7 gives us another reason. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He in the light is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we want to have fellowship with one another. You can go into the supermarkets, to the big malls, the stores that are located in those malls, and you have all kinds of people there. People who care nothing about the things of God. People who don't care what comes forth out of their mouth. But when you go to the house of God, that's one time in your lifetime that you can be in the presence of God and with brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship with one another, to worship God, to learn from His Word. Respect. When we come into the house of God, we're here not just to meet and to worship. We're here to worship and listen to what God's Word has to say to us for this day. To guide us in the ways that we should go, but above all, to give us the spiritual strength and courage to be able to go out into the world and meet others. Now I want you to notice in our text in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 3, it says here, when he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, pause for just a minute. Listen to how long he read the Bible. He read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. He read the Word of God that long. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, what in the world? That preacher read a whole lot of verses. And then I look back when I was thinking about things like this, and I've looked back in sermons that I've had, and I've thought, I only use one verse, sometimes the text. I try not to do that anymore. Because we're to be looking into the Word of God. Not one verse. The Word of God. Attentive to the book of the law. They read it from the morning until midday. Think what would happen if a preacher got up and started reading the Bible and read from the time we start, even. And we don't even start early morning. Let's say we started at 10 o'clock and the preacher got up and read from 10 until 12. Think what people would say, how they would act. That's what they wanted. That's what they did back then. They read. They didn't sit there and think about other things such as reading something or writing something or just doing a lot of things that we ought not to be doing. Thinking about other things. Thinking about, like I said, wonder if the roast will burn while we're here. Look at your watch and say, oh my goodness, that much time left yet to go? You mean he's just finished reading and we got more to do? Or thinking, well, what do I need to do when I leave here? Let's see, I need to go and do this, then do this, and then get home. Did you ever do things like that? I have. I've sat in services many times back years ago. I try not to do that anymore, but I have done it. Where I let my mind wander on everything under the sun, things I had to do that day, or places I had to go, or something like that. And then someone would say, what do you think about the scripture? And I'll say, I don't remember what it was. How many times have we gone home and said, boy, that was a good message. And someone says, what was the subject? And I say, I don't remember. Has that happened to you? I don't remember. What scripture to use? I don't know. How much do we really concentrate on the things of the Word of God? In John chapter 2, it tells us this, verses 13 through 16, he says here, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. What's the first thing we should do in order to begin to concentrate on what God has to say to us? Make sure the house of God is clean. Cleansed of all the things of the world that ought not to be there. That's not there to give glory to God. It's there for other reasons. And then in Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 48. He went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold therein, them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. They wanted to learn. They were very attentive. The priests wanted to get rid of that, but all the people were very attentive to hear him. And he taught them, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Cast out those that sold and bought and all of that in the temple of God. Go into the house of God to learn, to hear what God had to say, to see what He taught them. People, in verse 5 of our text, it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. They were showing respect for the Word of God. They showed respect for the Word of God. The psalmist says in the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 6, Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. This is one of the Psalms of David that says in there, when I have respect unto all the commandments of God, I'll not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all the commandments of God. How many times have you heard somebody say, or somebody has thought that, or you yourself has at some time or another, said, well, I know it says this, but that's not what it means. God means what He says and says what He means, and so we can't decide what God meant. When He tells us something and it's pretty plain what He's saying, we don't have the right to try to change it. That's what a lot of people try to do. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, But He giveth more grace, wherein He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. How do we have respect for the Word of God? You stand before God in humility. In James chapter 4 and verse 6 that we read a minute ago, but then in verse 10 it says here, Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Learn with humility. Submit yourselves before God. Before you ever read the Bible, before you ever go to church, before you ever study in any way, first of all, submit yourself before God. Ask God to give you the ability and the desire to learn from His Word, to hear what He had to say. Verse 8, it says in our text, Nehemiah 8 verse 8, So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, caused them to understand the reading. There's three ways that God speaks how we should teach the Word of God. I've heard preachers that talk so fast you couldn't understand what they were saying. God says, when you present the Word of God, when you present the Word of God, read it distinctly, carefully, so they can read it, so they can understand it. Explain what it's teaching, not what you want it to teach. Cause them to understand the reading. Explain what God has to say, what He's taught us, what He says to us. Explain to them what the Word of God is teaching. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice what it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, so that you can be someone that you can serve God and not be ashamed. And when you present the word of truth to others, whether it's witnessing to them about Jesus or preaching or whatever that it might be that you're called upon to do, it says, rightly divide the word of truth. Don't explain it in the wrong way. Don't make it say things you want it to say, but make it, but teach it as God has taught it and given it to us. Teach it as God would have us to know it, so that we won't have to be ashamed when we stand before God. Again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So the charge to God's people is to preach the word. Speak of the word. Everybody can be a witness before God. Can speak about Jesus. Talk of others about Jesus. And be instant in season and out of season. That means be the same no matter where you are and what you do. Teach the same thing. Teach what God has you to do. Reprove from the Word of God, not from your own thoughts. Rebuke from the Word of God. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach and teach and exhort. Titus 1, verses 7 through 9 says, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Love to be with God's people. Rejoice together with one another about the things of God. Respect the Word of God no matter where you are and what takes place. This afternoon, Renee and I had the privilege of being with two other preachers that were there, and me, three preachers, and they had their wives, and me and my daughter was there, and we enjoyed a time of good food. We ate together, we talked together, we had a great time. thinking about, talking about the Word of God, the times and things that God teaches us, things to do that God would have us to do, things that God has done with us in our time, and how He's watched over us in different ways and taken care of us. A great time with one another, enjoying the Word of God. We had a great time. Time of laughter. Time of having just a good time together. We were thankful. Not only that, one of the others paid for our meals. But we had a good time with brothers and sisters in Christ, enjoying one another, enjoying the things of the Bible, thinking about God's blessings to us, and how much we enjoy being able to be with one another. Respect for the Word of God. No matter where we go, what we do, we should respect the Word of God in our lives, in our actions. Go to church. Remember that what we are here for is to hear what God has to say to us through His Word. To fellowship with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, and to worship together around the things of God. Let's remember that every day of our life, every minute of our life, we are a servant of God. And we should remember that whatever we do and wherever we go.